independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
There's no question that this jury has been very deliberate in the questions that they're asking and making sure that they get clarification on things that maybe they're unsure of. And I think that was the first sign early on that they were having, you know, some issues with all coming in agreement on these charges, or this charge and those three counts. So it's not surprising, I think, for all of us who've been out here that this is the end result, at least right now, that this jury is deadlocked. But again, the judge ordering them back to deliberate to try and see if maybe they can figure something out.
Cosby trial. We can talk about the rest of this stuff later. I'm kind of bored with all of that other stuff. You know, we'll touch on it briefly. But the Cosby trial I find interesting. You know, a lot of people are sitting around and we're going, can he get away with it? Like, is it possible he can get away with it? It's possible. Remember, the trial is about a singular person. It is not about the adding up over the last 40, almost 50 years plus of stuff. It's not about that. It's about a single incident with a single woman. There are three counts on, you know, that he's up against right now. It is not all 60 women. And in fact, you can't even take into account the other women. You can only look at this. That's it. That you can't do anything else. But it got me thinking, and we've talked about it, producer Phil and I, about the fact that we love to pick and choose people, right? Pick and choose people. Like OJ was America's, white America's black guy, right? Like that was it. You know, he was the juice, baby, right? And then Cosby in the 80s, you had this guy who came into America's home like never before. And he was massive. Dr. Huxtable, his wife, the kids, it was perfect. He went through things that middle America, white America, black America could understand. In fact, dare I say, looking back on it, probably white America was more comfortable with the things that he was going through. That was more realistic suburbia feel than black America. And that's one of the reasons that black America, especially during the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, wasn't a fan of Cosby. Cosby, a lot of people thought Cosby turned his back on black America because he was very, very boisterous and loud about why you're buying your kids shoes when you should be buying them books. Why are you doing that? He was really hard at times on black America, and they didn't like that. They didn't. And they saw him as, hey, this is white America's guy. This ain't our guy. But 60. We're looking at it on the outside in a world where we see the 60. These jurors are supposed to see this one. I don't think all of them are lying. I don't know if all of them are telling the truth. Remember, we live in a world where money grabs are not the worst thing in the world for some people as far as they're concerned. They'll go out and grow money if they can. If they have a chance to get free money, they'll take it. That's horrible. But that's the world right now that we live in because of laws and lawyers and the craziness of it all. People realize, hey, I'm going to get 50 grand or 100 grand or 200 grand just for the threat of it. So that's what people do. But this is one person's account of a situation that took place with Cosby. This is not all 60. But there is a lot here. There is a lot here. First of all, I mean, 60. 60 is a, that's, you're prolific. I mean, if there's a serial killer that has 60 kills, you're like, holy mother of God. Like, are you the greatest serial killer? Is he one of the greatest, most prolific rapist of our time? Absolutely. I would say so if all of these were true. So again, it's all alleged. Until he gets convicted, it's alleged. But I find it fascinating. And the jury came out today and they said, look, we can't get to a decision. The judge looked at him and said, get your asses back in there. You come up with a decision. And so they're trying it again. And I don't know if they're going to come to a decision. I really, really don't.
it's unrealistic to think that all 12 of the jurors went into this jury duty process with this notion. They probably are struggling with that, trying to figure out how to overcome it by analyzing the evidence.
Since Monday, the jury's deliberated for 12 hours each day. So right, after the jury told the judge today that they were deadlocked, he instructed jurors to return to the jury room, re-examine the position's opinions on the case. Each deadlock announcement is met with a defense motion for a mistrial. All right? So each time there's that, the defense says we want a mistrial. So this is going to be interesting to see what happens. They're battling back there, says Dan Abrams of ABC. The district could retry the case if it ends in a hung jury. If it does, Cosby walks out of court a free man. But prosecutors would probably not likely move forward immediately on a retrial. So it could come down to the thing where, and it could come down to so much as, will you take some sort of plea deal? Well, when you've got $400 million and you're 79 years old, plea deal is probably not likely, especially when you're trying to preserve what little of your legacy you have left. And it also depends on what it looks like, they say, inside the jury room. If it's 11 to 1 for prosecution, then they're going to, like they said, the DA's pressure will be on him or her to retry the case. If it's split, a little tougher. And if it's 10 to 2 acquittal, chances are they're not going to retry the case. Now, it doesn't mean just because he gets past this one that he's done home free and clear. But what it does mean, if he gets past this one, that there's probably a few more out there. Some of them, their sell-by date's probably gone. Because I know they've only recently started institute the fact that you can now go after people. There used to be a statute, and that's changed. So we'll see what takes place. I don't know what the jury's like in there. I don't know how close they are to something. And don't be surprised, too, if they come out and say, look, we have got a verdict, but on two of the three counts, not on all three counts. And they'll maybe declare, okay, you know what, if you can't get all three counts. So there's a lot of things that can go on here. But I just find this entire thing interesting because of the racial aspect of it and the fact that it's not the racial aspect of the black versus white, even though his family has tried to make it that way. Remember, white people in America love the Cosbys, love Bill Cosby. And that, I think, is one of the things that people forget. His family's trying to make it a race thing, but sorry. I'm not buying it. I don't think anybody's really buying it. Trump, last night, visit Steve Scalise in the hospital. He just underwent his third surgery today. Yesterday, shot at the practice. Remember, the people say, well, he's shot in the hip. Yes, shot in the hip, bullet ricocheted, went up through, tore into his intestines and some of his other organs. Sepsis and massive bleeding. There's going to be a lot more surgeries than this, and he is in critical condition and fighting for his life.
It's been much more difficult than people even thought at the time. It's been he's in some trouble. He's a great fighter, and he's going to be okay, we hope.
We'll see. Critical condition, and I don't think this is going to change anytime soon. We're going to touch more later on the shooting. And the rhetoric that's going on, who people are coming out today, surprisingly, certain people are coming out and calling for calm and calling for a new conversation in this country with less rhetoric, with less screaming. And I second that because I, you know, if you listen to my show, you know I'm not that guy. I'm not that dude who screams and yells. I'm not that dude who throws out just the most outlandish things. I'm not here to gin you up and get you excited to go out and attack somebody because I think that's asinine and stupid. Quite the opposite. I'd like you to go and become more diverse and talk to people, get an understanding of people, and realize that it's just one part of what a human being is some of their political beliefs or their religions. That's just one part of a puzzle. But Scalise is fighting for his life. Tonight is the baseball game that was supposed to take place. They decided they're still going to do it, and it's the Democrats and the Republicans battling it out, Nats Field. I believe it's going on in a little while. They're hoping to raise $600,000. I said if anything good comes out of this, if there is any silver lining, besides the maybe we start to have a real honest dialogue and conversations in this country, if there's any silver lining, is I think tonight they're going to raise more money than I thought. $600,000 is what they were shooting for local charities, kids charities, underserved kids in the D.C. area. I think they're going to get a lot more than that tonight. I think they're going to get more people than they thought. I think people are going to be in a more giving mood. And if there is any silver lining in this, I think that's going to be the one. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text us always, 323-538-2423. Check out the new layout on the website, ChadBensonShow.com. So you're heading out this summer. As we do, we like to get out. In fact, we're going to be traveling a lot here very soon. Old Jack and I do lots of stuff. We got a lot of things going on. Notice, I drive a lot. And I put on a lot of miles. I don't worry about what could potentially happen to my car as far as my engine or any of the electronics because I got extended vehicle service protection from CarShield, and you should do the same thing. Water pumps, expensive, $500. Air conditioning, I'll tell you right now, we have a severe heat warming here in the Southwest. It's supposed to be, it's 111 now, and I just told Anthony, I went outside. Doesn't feel horrible. Isn't that weird? That's crazy. But being in a car with 111 degrees with no air conditioner, you can't do that. Those are expensive. Could be $1,500. How about an engine? $4,000, $5,000 transmission. And let's not forget about all the electronic gadgets, the GPS and whatnot. Your car is kind of a computer. Those things can run you $1,000 just for a sensor. With CarShield, you don't have to worry about that. 24/7 roadside assistance. A rental car while your car's in the shop. And, oh, you choose the mechanic. You could take it to the dealership. CarShield deals with them directly, pays them directly. You have nothing to worry about. Peace of mind is what they offer you. A great extended vehicle service protection, the best from CarShield. Save yourself from high repair bills. Get covered by CarShield like I did before something goes wrong. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention code Benson, or visit CarShield.com. Use code Benson to save 10%. That's CarShield.com. Code Benson saves 10%. A deductible may apply. You can tweet at me, at Chad Benson Show. Simple and easy. You can text the program as well, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Feeling confused? No worries. That's why he's here. This is the Chad Benson Show, setting things straight.
We try to set things straight. That's what we do. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. I won't lie about that, kids. Text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. You know, with all that took place yesterday, with the shooting, with the screaming, the yelling, the fighting, the arguing, the unity, and the craziness, and then at the end of the evening, if you're listening to the show, that the WAPO is saying, hey, look, now that Trump's under investigation. One thing we missed yesterday was the fire in London. That they don't know how many people are gone. Right now, I believe they're up to 17, but they think there's going to be 100 people that inside of this giant, massive apartment complex. It was horrible to watch. It was absolutely horrible, and it was a death trap. They were saying for a long time, this thing's a death trap. People have warned and been warned and been warned over and again that this thing has got some problems, and nothing, you know, like a lot of things, nothing. Nothing gets did. You ain't get that did? Nope, didn't get it did. It was a horrible situation, though. Absolutely horrible situation. And you've to think about, like, you know, they showed women throwing their babies out the window to people. And to think about that situation and just it makes you think of 9/11, and I watched a documentary, and I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's The Man Who Fell, and it is a riveting documentary. It is a documentary that is not for the faint of heart, because they show people jumping out of the 60th floors and the 80th floors, who are falling to their death because they choose to die that way as opposed to burning to death. You know, a lot of times when we think people die, they die from smoke inhalation. When something moves that fast, there is no time for the smoke inhalation. It's the fire that gets you. And watching The Man Who Fell, it's terrifying. It is. And I remember watching another one of those documentaries that really came out about 2 weeks after 9/11 happened. It was a French camera crew that did all this, that they were there filming stuff, and it just happened to be when this happened. And you were hearing thuds and thuds and thuds, and that's when they looked at this guy who was a fireman, and he said, those are bodies. Those are people. And watching this the other night, just knowing that those people were, you know, in a terrible state, and they're still looking for people, and it's going to be days, and there's still some of the fire that's still burning inside of the place. A horrible situation. We like to make you cooler every single day that we possibly can, so you can go out on the streets of America and you could throw down some knowledge to people. We call this our urban word of the day.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
This one is entertaining, right? It's called trumping. It's called trumping. It's when you send out crazy tweets or texts at the middle of the night. What are you doing? I'm trumping. You're throwing things out there. Has a couple meanings, actually, trumping. It also means that when you're in an argument with somebody, you're a little bit louder than them, and you're going to get your point across no matter what. So when you're arguing with your kid, and you're into it, you get a little bit louder, you lay the smack down because you're trumping them. Trumping is your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
So I'm looking at the field out there, Nats Park, and fans are starting to show up. I think the game starts at like 7 or 7:30. They expect anywhere between 10 and 15,000, hoping to raise $600,000. You got the Democrats and the Republicans in a congressional baseball game, something they do every single year. It's going to be interesting tonight. It's going to be interesting to see with the unity, but it's also going to be interesting in the crowd, to see how the crowd is, how they cheer people on, because at every moment and every turn, there always seems to be something that's going on now. Let's see tonight if they can get through it where you just have people that are enjoying themselves, being Americans and doing something for a good cause. 844-DIG-CHAD, that's the number, 844-344-2423, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text us. 323-538-2423.
323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show. The
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
I was honestly concerned that you might lie about the nature of our meeting, and so I thought it really important to document.
Last week, Comey getting out there doing the Comey thing in front of everybody. Now, of course, the investigation, right? The independent investigation that's supposed to be going on. And here it comes. And then last night, did he or did he not obstruct justice? Well, now they're looking into it. I don't know if he did or didn't. I don't even know what Trump's doing anymore as far as this. I don't know why. Are we looking at him? Did he do something that somebody else did? What's the Russian investigation? Because obviously they tried. We get that they tried to get in to the elections and altered the elections. But they didn't do that. They didn't alter one vote. Did they spread lies? Did they put things? Here's the other thing. They didn't spread. Not everything they spread was a lie. Some of it was very true. It was just embarrassing. We forget that. We think that everything they put out there was this fabricated BS story. Nope, some of it was true, and it was just very embarrassing. But did he obstruct justice? That's going to be tough. Tough for them to find out if he obstructed justice. Because in the end, it's going to be his word versus Trump's word. So you got Comey and Trump here. And you know what Comey thinks.
The president and I had had multiple conversations about my job, both before and after he took office. And he had repeatedly told me I was doing a great job. I took it as a direction. I mean, this is the president of the United States, with me alone, saying, I hope this. I took it as this is what he wants me to do. I didn't obey that, but that's the way I took it.
But you took it as, right? You took it as this is the direction, right? This is, you took it as I said, hey, you know what? Hopefully this thing go away. You know, we get this thing put, you know, behind us and we can move on. I hope we can do that. I take that as a direction. I didn't mean it that way, but I took it as a direction. Well, that's on you. I mean, we have that now, right? We have that in just about everything we do. You say something, people say, oh, I took it as you meant this. Really? Really? Did he say you better? You better stop this or you're fired? Well, no, I just took it as that. Well, that's on you. That's on you. And the other question is, can Trump get a fair shake with what Bob Mueller has put out there? The first four people he hired are Democratic folk. There's no doubt about that. The people looking into this are left-leaning. And is that fair? Is that bipartisan? If you were on the other side, right? If this was Hillary and there was Bob Mueller was there and he hired four people that were all right-leaning that had given and worked within the Democratic machine, now the Republican machine, right? That these four have given to the Democrats across the board. And if it was the opposite way, how would they feel? Will they be throwing a fit? They'd be throwing a tantrum. Because we could say that there's no partisanship here. We could say that they're unbiased. We can say that they're independent of any of this stuff and politics won't get involved. But if human beings are involved, emotions are involved. If emotions are involved, guess what? People will do stuff because they're humans. They're not robots. They're humans. Bob Mueller is a friend of James Comey. To me, I feel that's a little bit of a conflict of interest. There's a lot of things here that, you know, you step back and you say, okay, well, wait here. Can he get a fair? I'd like to think that it's going to be fair, but I don't know. I'd like to think that it's going to be unbiased. But I don't know. Trump is now supposedly under investigation for obstruction of justice. He's pissed and then some, and he's tweeting the hell out of it.
President Trump is asking why Hillary Clinton is not the subject of a Russia investigation while he is. On Twitter, the president also raised questions about Clinton's family and, quote, Dems dealing with Russia. Borrowing some presidential campaign rhetoric, Trump called Hillary Clinton crooked and said she destroyed phones with a hammer and bleached emails. Trump has been reacting to reports that he's under investigation for possible obstruction of justice in the Russia investigation. In an earlier tweet, Trump called it a massive witch hunt.
And, you know, there is some argument that he is very right about that. I mean, you know, she used bleach on her servers. She broke phones and other electronic devices with hammers. That's not normal, right? It's not a normal thing for somebody to do. Most of us break our phones the old-fashioned way. We drop them, right? Or Anthony kills them because he hates his phone. He hates it with a passion. Just got it the other day, and he tried to kill it. I'm having to separate the two all the time. Anthony, calm down. But there is some ting to what he has to say. Normal people don't bleach stuff. Normal people don't smash up electronics. I understand why Tom Brady smashed up his electronics, because he may have pictures on there he doesn't want the world to see, and the last thing he's going to do is hand them over to the NFL, which, you know, within 20 minutes, they're going to be at TMZ and be like, do you want to see a naked picture of Tom Brady? Do you want to see a naked picture of Giselle? Yeah. I get that. But her? Do you think there was naked pictures on hers? Do you want to see that? That's a negative, Ghost Rider. That's a negative. But this isn't about her. Now, you can make the argument that, look, this guy listened to the AG. When the AG told him after meeting with then the ex-president, old Billy there, hey, everybody, it's me. How you doing there, Loretta? I like, come on, come on over here, rub your shoulders. Let's talk about the grandbabies. That's nice, baby. You got a nice ass. Hey, is there any way you could stop investigating my wife? I don't know what happened on that plane. Neither do you. but he was instructed to say it's a matter, not an investigation. All those things you can point at. Two wrongs don't make a right. But you can then start to put doubt in people's mind that this guy, James Comey, is always nonpartisan and above the fray because, you know, he went out and addressed it as a matter and not an investigation. So throw that out there. Throw it out there. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. This Fred Warmbier is speaking the other day. He is the father of Otto Warmbier, who was in North Korea. And if you learn nothing from the Chad Benson Show, as I said earlier today on my Sacramento show, if you learn nothing from our show, if you take nothing away, for this thing's on for 50 years, and you learn nothing from me, don't ever go to North Korea is the only thing that you should. That right there is number one. Don't go to North Korea. Don't. And you win. Like, you're already ahead of the game. His father came out and spoke last night, talked about that he doesn't really believe the North Koreans' explanation of what happened to his son.
Even if you believe their explanation of botulism and a sleeping pill causing the coma, and we don't, there is no excuse for any civilized nation to have kept his condition secret.
So they're saying, look, botulism, took a sleeping pill, he went into a coma. He's been in a coma for about 14 months or so. Other people that were arrested for being spies or enemies of the state or whatever that North Korea wants to call them did talk about the fact that they were beaten and they were treated poorly. His doctor, Dr. Daniel Cantor of the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, talked about the MRI and the extensive loss of brain tissue that Otto is suffering from.
His vital signs were stable upon arrival and have remained so. He requires no supplemental oxygen or respiratory assistance.
Well, but he's got issues, that's for sure. And he has got neurological damage. That's undeniable. The chances of him recovering, I'm sure, at this point, to have any kind of normal life is probably slim to none.
His neurological condition can be best described as a state of unresponsive wakefulness.
Now, the family is saying that he was beaten. That's what the family's claim. They did an MRI, and they're saying, look, there doesn't seem to be any, like, any kind of signs of massive trauma. Any broken bones, any of those kind of things. I mean, anything's possible. Anthony pointed out, like, maybe he was just scared to death and he had a heart attack. Maybe he did take some. Maybe they poisoned him. You know, there's probably so many things that potentially could have happened. And maybe he did get sick a little bit. And because of the fact that he was in jail, they decided not to do anything to him and to take him anywhere and just told him to suck it up, Buttercup. And he got sicker and sicker, which led to him becoming ultimately very sick and maybe had issues with his heart. I'm sure over time they'll figure it out. But this is, you know, don't go there. This is the number one thing. You just don't go there. And you feel bad for this family. You know, here was a kid who went over there, not on state business, and if you're not Dennis Rodman the Worm, you have no reason to be there. He goes over there. His family was having issues financially from what I understand, and a car dealership said, if you can bring back some cool propaganda, some cool posters, we'll give you 10 grand. So that's why he did it. And is it worth it? No, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And you feel bad for a family whose son went off and has now come home, and he is a shell of himself. I saw a picture of him taking him out of the ambulance, and that does not look like anybody. He is a shell of himself, non-recognizable. He looks like he's, you know, it looks like one of those pictures of the people that they rescued on, you know, as they went into Birkenau and Auschwitz and things like that. That's what it looks like, and it's horrible. Horrible thing. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. They're showing the Democrats and the Republicans in the congressional baseball game. They're all coming out. You know what's funny is they're all wearing uniforms. I think that's hilarious. They all got baseball pants on. They do. They all got baseball pants on. They got their, they're ready to roll. Tonight is the congressional game, and after what took place yesterday, more attention is going to be paid on what takes place tonight. How are they going to get along? This is one of the bipartisan things they do together. They're going to raise money. I say they're going to raise a ton of money. $600,000 is what they were hoping to raise. I think they're going to raise a lot more than that because of what took place yesterday. So if there is one silver lining in this, is that they may raise a lot of money for underprivileged and underserved kids in the D.C. area. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. How much money will they make now that it's official? Chad Benson Show.
If you like talk radio like Chad Benson likes his meals, you've come to the perfect place for takeout.
Looking at the baseball game there. Getting ready. They're out there warming up. It's got to be cool. It's neat. It's neat. I know the first time I ever played in a real stadium. It was awesome. It was just so cool. Not like a high school football stadium. First time when I was in Europe and I played in a real stadium. And I just remember going out and warming up and you know, you're kicking the ball back and forth with, you know, one of your teammates and stuff. And it was just getting the depth of it and the whole nine yards, because you think something's closer and it's further, and you think something's further and it's closer, but it's really cool. And watching them out there just goes to, first of all, you know what I always take away from this when you watch it out there is just how awesome pro baseball players are comparatively to the congressional men and women that will be taking place tonight. We'll see how much money they raise. I'm on $1 million. I think they're going to raise $1 million. Don't let me down, Merca. Don't let me down. It's for good cause. So we'll see what happens. They don't actually look too bad, but I do like the uniforms. But you would think they'd all have matching uniforms, right? That's what you would think. I'll have some matching uniforms because it's, you know, you guys do work for the government. I'm sure they have a few dollars sitting around somewhere. Just throwing it out. Yesterday on the old Chad Benson Show, that's this thing right here, we announced, as we do with our breaking news staff, our crack staff of the three of us, that the fight is going to happen. Floyd Money Mayweather and Conor McGregor. The thing I found so interesting about, first of all, Conor McGregor is just 3.5 years ago, this guy was so broke, he was getting $235 on unemployment, and he is doing very well now. He's doing very, very well now. Made $40 million last year. He plans to profit big time from the fight that's coming up to the tune of about $100 million. So, okay, so producer Phil, this was interesting. So the MGM Arena, which is where the last fight was with Pacquiao Mayweather, do you know what the average ticket price was for that?
I don't.
$4,451. Yeah. So now, obviously, it's $1,500 for the rafters, and you're looking at the wall. It's $100,000 by the ring. If it adds it up, you know, it's 44. They said that even though T-Mobile Arena is bigger, holds about 19,000, that it's not going to be at the gate as much as the other one, because the other one had implications for a world title fight. So they don't think that it's going to reach that kind of gate. They think about $77 million at the gate. Pay-per-view sales, though. This is where the huge stuff is. Pay-per-view sales for Mayweather-Pacquiao, $455 million. They project about $475 million for Mayweather-McGregor. I'm going to go higher. I'm going to say it's closer to $500. And don't – this is going to be – this is me. If I'm sitting there, I'm like, let's charge $119.99. Because we can. Because what is somebody going to say? I really want to see the fight, but I'm not paying the extra $20. Hell yeah, you are. You're going to pay the $20.
Nah, that's in my price point.
Yeah, I'm going to. And at that, they're going to. It's going to be right around $500 million, which is more money from them. And remember, McGregor is going to get a little bit of this, but Mayweather, this is where the bulk of his money is going to come from. Even though he's getting a huge money up front. It's massive. It's massive. He's looking at another $150 to $250 million, you know, night. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. Merchandise sale, not a lot. Nevada betting, though, is different. 70 million bet on Mayweather Pacquiao. Only 30 million they projected to be bet on Mayweather McGregor. And the bottom line is, they say, it's virtually a dead heat. $623 million was made on Mayweather Pacquiao. They expect about $610 million made on this. I think it's going to be closer to $650 because I think as it ramps up and it gets closer, as the rhetoric gets louder, Conor McGregor can sell. Floyd Mayweather will sell. My money is still on Floyd, because it's boxing. Somebody wrote me last night, texted me, and said, hey, if this was a street fight, I go, well, luckily it's not a street fight. Because if it was a street fight, I don't have to pay $120 to watch it. It's not a street fight. It's in a ring, and it's not in an octagon. There's no kicking. There's none of the other stuff, right? There's no arm bars. There's none. It's a boxing match. So it's going to be interesting to see how much money Conor gets out of this. But if you think just 3.5 years ago, he had not a penny to his name. And by the time he's finished on August 27th, he wakes up, he'll be worth about $175 million. Not a bad day, I might say. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, ChadBenson. The Chad Benson Show.
This is The Chad Benson Show.